Welcome to the Shift Spotlight Podcast. I'm Winter, your host and VP of Strategy at GCE Strategic Consulting. GCE are business transformational experts that provide fractional and executive leadership services that help business owners and CEOs shift from working in the business to working on the business. Our podcast was created to celebrate CEOs, visionaries, and the EOS community, all while promoting your business to our remarkable and influential network. We are excited to celebrate your stories of change, challenge, success, and shifts you've made happen along the way. The Shift Spotlight is always looking for podcast guests. Go to shiftspotlight.com to apply today. We'd love to have you. Hey, everybody. It's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today we are here with Lloyd Bourgeois. He is the principal of LJBlegal.com. And so welcome to the show.
Hey, Winter. Thanks for having me. Great job on the pronunciation.
After a few takes. Okay, so let's start with an interesting fact about you that people may not know, and then we'll dive into what you do.
Yeah, I guess an interesting fact would be I have an engineering degree and did work in like chemical plants before going to law school.
Makes a lot of sense because the brain involved, right?
Yeah. It's I use that a lot. Like and most people think, oh, engineering's all math, and law school's not, or being a lawyer's not. But for me, it's really like two ways to solve problems. One is with a lot of math and very regimented and procedural. In laws, you're taking a lot of facts, but also you're running them through kind of a process to figure out what happened, what applies. And to me, they're very similar. And when I tell people I have an engineering degree, if they know me, they're like, man, I could really see that now that you say it, but I would have never thought it beforehand because why would you do that to yourself?
Well, and I think engineering too, aside from the math, they're meticulous, right? And when you are reading a contract or you are representing law, right? That, I think that kind of brain comes into play sometimes too.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be detail oriented.
Yeah. Yeah. I always said I should have been an attorney. But all right. So we know what you do. I work with so many attorneys and I have so many attorney friends. And my favorite question to ask attorneys is, why did you pick this route? So we can see behind you, you're an injury and accident lawyer, but out of all the specializations, why did you decide to go that way?
Yeah. And so, I mean, it's interesting with the title of your podcast, The Shift. And so we've kind of shifted a bit over time, right? As we just talked about, engineering school. I worked in a chemical plant, doing environmental engineering for the plant. And a lot of that was, you know, reporting, dealing with governmental agencies. And, you know, a lot of times it was like, oh, we have to call the lawyer. And so I was like, well, why don't I just go be the lawyer, right? And so I went to law school with the idea of becoming an environmental lawyer. And I think that really started, like I did environmental law because I really live in South Louisiana, around a lot of water growing up, and always had heard about, you know, all these problems with how can we control the environment to keep our home safe, to keep our community safe. And, you know, it was oil spills and other issues. And I was always like interested in that. And so that's why I did engineering school, because I thought that's where I could help out the most. Then I went to law school because I was like, that was actually the engineering side of it. At least what I was into was not what I saw myself doing for the rest of my life. And so I shifted and went to law, got this environmental law certificate and did some toxic tort litigation. But I came out of law school, graduated right before Hurricane Katrina, 2005 May. Hurricane Katrina happens, which is the 20th anniversary here in a few days. But like our world down here in the New Orleans area was kind of turned upside down. And so I started getting into a lot of other practice areas that I didn't necessarily anticipate. And so there was just opportunity to do cases of all types because the legal community here was in disarray. And a lot of that was like hurricane litigation
Yeah.
for property insurance claim for folks. And so I did that. I just, it then evolved into like one day I got this call from a family member, my grandmother, and was who said, "Hey, your cousin has this brain cancer and she needs help with this insurance claim." I was the only lawyer in the family and I'd never dealt with this kind of work before. And I was like, "Well, I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I can help." So I started doing that for a bit because that was another opportunity, right? And so we
Yeah.
shifted into doing that for a while. And then, we just, I don't know, found a niche in helping people through this kind of, for many of them, like a disorienting and difficult time of their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That something big has changed, right? They're injured now and they don't know where to turn, what to deal with, who to talk to, what they should say. And we were just very good at both communicating with clients as well as insurance companies. And it just allowed us to then shift from doing disability stuff into personal injury. And so we've never been afraid to shift I haven't as a person, and I think our firm hasn't, just because of that. When we see a need, we try to help.
Yeah, we always say, shift happens, right? And that's what the shift spot is all about, is the shifts that people have made along their journey of becoming a CEO or business owner. But to rewind, I watched that Netflix documentary on Katrina. Did you see it came out recently? It's like a
Yeah,
five.
I saw it. I have not watched it.
And it might be painful for you to watch. It was very painful for me to
Yeah.
watch. It's just there's a lot I didn't know, and I knew a lot because my parents actually went to Biloxi after Katrina, and they
Okay.
bought some like quad buildings, duplex, fourplex, and
Yeah.
they like renovated them and put furniture for the workers to come help rebuild it. So I had a little bit more
Okay.
knowledge than some, but I mean,
Yeah.
it was astounding. Documentary was just very, very interesting, and how the wetlands protect, it like
Yeah.
your environment protects it. So I can see why these shifts have kind of, happened to you. But yeah, it was definitely heartbreaking.
I've heard great things. Is that the one on Hulu you're talking
Yeah,
about?
no. Is it Hulu? Okay, I thought it was
Yeah.
Netflix.
I think it's Hulu.
It,
But
I think
I've
I
heard
just
great things about it. I
saw it.
haven't
Yeah.
sat down to watch it. I don't know how I would react to it. I mean, just
Yeah, I know. I
kind of
know.
living it. It was a it, yeah. I mean, it was a and look, we were very blessed. We were not. We didn't lose anyone we knew. Our home had damage, but it was repairable. And so I always like look for that kind of blessing in the
Yeah.
disaster. That we were able to survive one and overcome what minimal challenges we had when compared to the absolute devastation that many in the
Yeah.
city experienced.
It's just so, it's so crazy. Well, okay, so let's shift to what you specialize in. So your team handles a wide variety, it looks like, of personal injury cases. So it looks like from car and truck accidents to slip and falls, mesothelioma, boating accidents, slow
Yeah.
wire hanging injuries. Are there particular types of cases that you're most passionate about or that present unique challenges?
I think every case presents unique challenges, right? There could be challenges with regards to, your client is severely injured, but there's not enough insurance or money available to actually compensate them for their damages, right? So the liability may be clear, the damages may be clear, but you may be dealing with an issue where you cannot make someone whole just because of the circumstances.
Yeah.
And that's difficult, right? To have to break that news to a client. You may be dealing with cases where, you know, there's a lot of insurance and very significant injuries, but it's going to just take a while because the injuries need to be investigated, the circumstances need to be investigated, and, you know, telling a client like, yeah, this is going to take perhaps years, right? And so I think every case is presents its own challenges. I think what we like is kind of bringing the creativity to trying to solve the problem for the client. Like, because each case, like I said, has its unique challenges. And so, how can we as attorneys help our clients overcome that challenge that their case presents?
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, specific case types, we get involved in a lot of things. And one of the things I tell my team a lot is don't let me be on the intake process because I will take every case that calls in. Because I really like to help people, and I think I can really make an impact on just about every case, even ones where it may be minimal or we may spin our wheels. But I just feel like helping folks, even though we may not be able to get them, you know, money in their pocket or compensation for their loss, giving them the best chance for success sometimes is what I feel like I provide. And so if I'm on the intake calls, I will take everything, and the team's like, why do we let him do that? So
That's funny. What's one critical mistake that you see clients make when they're dealing with insurance companies or quick settlements, and how can listeners protect themselves better?
there's quite a few, right? One of the things we're seeing recently is folks are calling us and saying, well, you know, I talked to the insurance company and they offered me X number of dollars to settle the case, but they also said they're going to give me, you know, a year to make these medical to make a claim for medical reimbursement of, you know, whatever, and they're like, well, what can you do for me different? And I tell them, look, it's okay. Now you have your medical insurance that you have to deal with, which is prone to denying claims and procedures. Now you're going to give some authority to another insurance company that you don't even have a relationship with or a contract with, that's, you know, some other driver's insurance, to say, you know, I don't think that procedure was appropriate, or that it, you know, you should have went to this other doctor. And so I'm just very skeptical of that, you know, when we hear that. And it just does seem to be more common. So I would just caution folks, like, hey, if you're hearing like, hey, we can write you a check today and we'll save some money on the side for you for the next year, for your medical bills, like, be skeptical of that.
Yeah.
One, the other thing is like, how do they know that it's only going to take a year for you to get better, right? Things can take a long time sometimes, especially
Yeah,
the
it doesn't matter what it is. I'm always skeptical when somebody's just like, get it done, right? Like when a tenant wants to move in and they're like, here's all my money and I'll get in, you know, I'm always like, whoa, whoa, whoa. There's just always
Right.
something that goes off in
Yeah.
me.
What's going on? Why are you trying to give me
Yeah,
all this money
there's
this
just
quickly?
something weird, you know, but
Yeah.
all right. So with regards to your business, how many employees do you have?
Right now we have 7 full-time and 2. We have like a fractional CFO, COO. We've kind of fluctuated a little bit in the past couple of years. We've been as high as 12 people, but we've made some shifts in the business that kind of brought us back down to 7 right now.
Gotcha. So then, what challenges have you faced as a leader, and how do you overcome them? And particularly, what it is that you do?
Yeah, from just personally, like I was saying, I want to take every case because I think I can help. I also struggle with just believing, seeing the good in people. And so that sometimes leads to maybe employees who are not pulling their own weight, or team members who are not pulling their own weight, staying around too long. Because I think maybe we can provide training, we can do some things to help improve the situation. I kind of internalize it, like, I have a friend who says like every failure in business is a leadership failure, and so I don't want to be a failure, and so I'm trying to provide the opportunities for this person to blossom into what I see they could be, and that doesn't always work, and right, and you know, I'm taking ownership of that. But yeah.
common problem that we hear on this podcast over and over is people really wanting the person to work. Whether it's because of a personal relationship or they brought them in as their integrator and they're a family member or a friend. And there is something about when you let somebody go, you feel like it's on you. Because look, they don't get, it's just like, that book that they give all pregnant women, right? Like what to expect when you're expecting. I don't care how many leadership books are, until you become a mom and you experience it for the first time, you don't know what it's like. And that is the same thing with running a company. Until you make your first hire and you start seeing how things go, you have no books can prepare you for what you have to go through as an owner, a leader. And I think the statistic out there is something like it's like less than 5% of the population are natural born leaders. Don't quote me on that stat, but it's like it's most leaders are learned and they have to be skilled up. So you're trying to skill your people up when you often don't know what it is they need to be doing because nobody gave you the book.
Yeah, and
So.
you're developing systems and processes, and along the way you're trying to make sure they work as long as well as your people are working. And sometimes you don't know whether it's the system that's in the process you developed or created is the problem, or is it the people? And so there's all this, interplay between both. And so I definitely think just, the difficulty is, getting the right person for the right seat in terms of, that EOS language, right? Ensuring that you are on the right path with the right person.
Hi there, this is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then, one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
And so I did see that your core values are we get it done, we do the right thing, we own it and operate with transparency. Still your core values?
We try to reevaluate those from time to time just to make sure that one, that they're still important to us and core to who we are as a firm and who our team is, as well as like, did anything change, right? Or is there something else now that we need to add to this? And so we've looked at them over the past few years, and they've been relatively consistent for us, and we live up to those.
And I think the T word is becoming very important in just about every aspect in any industry out there. It's that transparency. And I think that people's bullshit meters are up and they can detect it a mile away anymore. I think from the marketing you do to how you show up, for your clients, your employees. People are more aware than ever. And if you just say to them, look, I'm having a bad day and I just didn't get it done, right? That goes exponentially further than, trying to smoke and mirrors.
Yeah,
And
sweep it under the rug.
and I'm seeing this like a movement. We said the word shift a bunch today, but I am seeing a shift in how companies are starting to operate, with transparency being kind of a beacon of light that they're starting to realize, like we need to tell people how we are. You used to just kind of like when you'd hire people, they were selling themselves to you, but now you really need to sell yourself to them to get the right people.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're gonna, just like you, if you're hiring folks, you're gonna go out and look at their social media and see what they're who they are outside of work. So you can kind of see through maybe what they're telling you. They're doing the same thing. They're looking at you, checking out your website, your profiles, looking you up on social media to see if the values you are saying this company holds true are values you actually hold true in your own personal life. And if they notice or detect a discrepancy there, you're going to get called on it, and you're gonna have to answer for it. And so, yeah, I agree that transparency, both sides, right? From team members inward, from us outward, even clients, right? We're looking up clients. I'm sure they're looking us up. It's just a very, it's very
I'm just
important, and it's
curious,
very
like
important to acknowledge it.
I'm just curious, like how many clients do you look up where you're like, this is a scam or they're not real? Like, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I
It's
wouldn't
gotta
say.
happen.
Yeah, I don't know that I have a percentage, but I mean, we definitely, once folks call and we check them out, we ask them as part of our process, like what are they using from social media perspective? But we also do our own little deep dive on them because we know, look, if we have to go to a trial, the other side's going to do it. So we want to know upfront, what are we dealing with? And I don't know that it's a huge percentage, but there's definitely some times where we see folks and we're like, you know what? Maybe we should withdraw from this because of this issue, right? This just doesn't pass the smell test. It's
So, what's next for you and your company? Are you going in any new directions, new projects? What's
Yeah, I mean, we've, like I said, we shifted, I guess we started making a shift maybe about a year and a half ago into more just personal injury. We previously had done personal injury and disability. Now we started making a shift, and then we kind of saw what was coming, not just from an internal perspective, but we also have to look outward and what is the world telling us, right? And we saw a lot of changes on the horizon in the disability world that we're going to be detrimental to our business. And so we started thinking about it, and we've made that kind of shift more recently to just personal injury. But I would say in the next 2 to 3 years, we see our injury practice growing. We've kind of grown tremendously just in the past 3 years for our injury practice, probably just revenue wise, doubled and then doubled again. And so, we have a lot of momentum right now that we are want to capture and keep going. And so, from a team member perspective, we probably grow, I won't say double, but maybe 50% in the next year is the kind of expectation right now. But again, we're like they say, the best laid plans of mice and men, right? We also know to kind of, hey, don't be afraid to grow faster if you have to. But we try to have a plan in place to have a measured approach to what we're doing. But we don't necessarily know when that kind of hockey stick approach, when that hockey stick growth is going to happen. So we have to be ready for it. And so we have plans in place, but we're also always kind of monitoring to make sure that they are the right plans.
All right, a few more questions here. What's the best piece of advice you've received as a leader?
Yeah, don't take yourself too seriously, right? Like, be present, listen. It's not all about you. You have team members, you have clients. Listen to what they're telling you. Don't just show up and think because you're there that it's going to work, that it's right, that the way you're thinking about it is the right way, that you're the only one who knows. Like, use the folks around you, right? And when I say use them, not like in a bad way, but like they all have special talents and unique abilities, and they all are there for a reason, and it's usually a good reason. And so utilize what they bring to the table, because it's not all about you.
Agreed. That's a good one. That's a good one. And last question, if somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you, what should they do?
Yeah. You can find us online. My name's Lloyd Bourgeois. It's a pretty unique name, especially if you spell it with one L like I do. There's not too many of us out there. We have a, a I'm available via LinkedIn, social media, Facebook. I think we have a TikTok that I post my socks on that people always are asking me about. I try to wear a new pair of socks every day. Seems to be. I didn't realize it was interesting, but folks ask me about it all the time.
That should have been your interesting fun fact about you that people did not
Yeah,
know.
well, if they follow us on TikTok, that's usually
They're
what people
gonna
ask me about now.
That's so
Yeah, I
funny.
mean, and any of those social media platforms, reach out to us. I'm always willing to sit down and talk with, growing solopreneurs going to that next level. I was a solo entrepreneur for, 7 or 8 years, right? When I started my own firm, I kind of did it a little backwards. I was maybe 2 months away from having our third child when I told my wife, "Hey, I think I'm going to do this." And the idea was to be in control of our schedule and our life and not beholden to other people's idea of what was important, because what was important to us at that time, my wife and I, was raising our kids and being present in their lives. And so for that, first 6, 7, 8 years of my firm, it was really just me. And I had some help here and there, contractors, 1099 folks, but it was really just me trying to do enough to be a lawyer, but really to be a great and present person in my kids' lives. And then, over the past few years, really turning it up in terms of kids are older now. They don't really want to hang out with us as much. And so,
Yes,
now we
that
can,
happens.
yeah, we can dedicate some time more to growing the business. And so I've been on both sides of that journey, and and I'm still on the journey myself, and I'm willing always to share what I've learned and some just be an ear to listen to problems. And so folks, want to reach out for that, feel free.
I love that. Thank you. We really appreciate that. So, all right. Well, it was awesome having you on the show.
Yep, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to listening to more of your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to the Shift Spotlight podcast. If you are a business owner, CEO, founder, visionary, or of the EOS community seeking recognition for your exceptional expertise while gaining exposure through our remarkable network, we are actively searching for podcast guests who can bring their inspiring stories to light, and we'd love to showcase your journey. Please visit shiftspotlight.com to apply today. And if you are a listener, I'd love to give a shout out to your business to our whole audience for free. All you have to do is leave a review on Apple Podcasts or follow our newsletter on LinkedIn by searching GCE Strategic Consulting. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and it means a lot to me and my team. We believe that every person has a message that can positively impact the world. We love our community who listens and shares our program, so hit subscribe to be inspired and motivated. I promise to bring positivity and inspiration to you and your growing business. We will see you next time.